昼の星 250. Oliva Paradise, loose your tongue at all times in gratitude for the blessings of the beloved of the worlds. Mona came home from school one afternoon while Mother was folding clothes. Mom, there was a homeless man sitting on the sidewalk as I was walking home from school just now. I felt so bad for him, but I didn't know how to help. So I went over to a drink machine and bought him the healthiest looking drink I could find. As I walked past him, I paused and put the unopened drink on the ground and pretended to look for something in my bag. And then I walked off as if I'd forgotten it. I wish I could have done something more, but I didn't want him to feel bad that a young girl had to help him. What do you think, Mom?
Well, I think you're demonstrating how you are a spiritual descendant of Bahia Khanum.
Descendant? Does that mean she's a relative of ours? Asked Asma, who had walked by just in time to hear the conversation. Who's Bahia Khanum? Asked Shala.
That name sounds familiar. She must be an aunt or something, put in Riaz.
I remember, said Mona. Bahia Khanum is the daughter of Baha'u'llah.
Wow, we're related to Baha'u'llah, Riaz shouted, jumping up and down.
Mother started laughing. Easy, easy, guys. Sorry for the confusion. I said spiritual descendant. That means because of her kindness and generosity, Mona was acting like Bahia Khanum.
Baha'u'llah had a daughter? Shala asked.
That means she was Abdul Baha's sister, right, Mom?
Yes, very good, Shala.
Bahia was Abdul Baha's little sister, explained Mother. Bahia's name means the one who is filled with glory. Bahia lived with her parents, her big brother Abdul Baha, and her little brother Mehdi, in Tehran, Persia, in a big house filled with many beautiful things. But when she was still a little girl, only 6 years old, many of the Babis were arrested and put to death. Baha'u'llah was also arrested and put into a terrible prison, the Siachah, by the Persian government. Nawab, Baha'u'llah's wife, took the three children and hid in the city because people were coming into their beautiful house and breaking or stealing everything, and she was afraid they would hurt the children.
Wow, that was mean of them, said Shala.
Why were they doing that?
Well, some bad people were telling lies and saying that the Babis had all tried to kill the king. So the people were attacking all the Babis and their families.
Babies? Asked Anissa. What babies?
With that, everyone started laughing at poor Anissa.
Not babies, Anissa. Babis. The people that followed the Bab, laughed Riaz.
So, continued Mother, Baha'u'llah was in that terrible, dark, stinky prison for months and months, with a heavy chain over his shoulders. When he was finally released, he could barely walk. But the whole family, with many of the Babis, were forced to leave Persia in the middle of winter over snow-covered mountains. The women and children rode in hodals, little tents on top of the back of mules. It was a cold and miserable trip because no one had warm enough clothes.
Ah, poor things, sighed Shala, and Mona and Anissa nodded in agreement.
They traveled almost 3 months until they arrived in Baghdad, where they could settle down and live peacefully for a few years. Bahia and Abdul Baha helped their mother with everything. Even though Bahia was only 7 years old, she would spend hours pulling up water from the well and carrying it to the house.
Do you guys know what a samovar is? Asked Mother.
It's a fancy teapot, right, Mom? Answered Mona. Mother smiled. Something like that. It is a tall, heavy pot that brews tea. One day, a lady came to visit with Baha'u'llah's family. Bahia carried the heavy samovar upstairs to where the guest was. And when the water was boiled, she made the tea and served it to the lady in tiny crystal glasses. Later, after the lady had left, Baha'u'llah smiled at his little daughter and told her the lady had become a Baha'i because of her service at the samovar. Bahia always worked so hard to help her family, especially during the 2 years that Baha'u'llah went away into the mountains. During that time, Bahia became friends with a little Arab girl she called Habibati, which means my dear one. In those days, girls were not taught to read and write, only boys. But of course, Baha'u'llah had made sure his daughter was well educated. So Bahia taught her little friend to read and write. But Bahia never forgot her little friend all through her difficult life. Oh yeah, Baha'u'llah and his family were sent to the prison city of Akka, weren't they? That must have been what made her life difficult, said Asma. Sadly, yes, continued Mother. Bahia had become a beautiful young woman, and now everyone referred to her as Bahia Khanum. Khanum means lady. Baha'u'llah's family had always helped everyone in the city, whether they were rich or poor, Arab, Persian, Jew, or Christian. But the cruel rulers were afraid that people like Baha'u'llah too much and would stop listening to them. So they sent Baha'u'llah and his family far away from Baghdad to the prison city of Akka in Palestine, which is now Israel. Everyone in Baghdad was so sorry to see the Holy Family leave. Little Habibati was very sad to say goodbye to her good friend Bahia Khanum. Wow, to have to go to prison when you're just a young girl must have been terrible, said Bona. And the other children nodded in agreement. Abdul Baha was a young man too then, right, Mom? Said Riaz. The prison was not just hard for the girls. It was terrible for all the friends who'd done nothing but try and bring peace and happiness to everyone around them, continued Mother. They had to go by a small boat over the terrible, rough Mediterranean Sea. Bahia Khanum got very sick from thirst and hunger. When they arrived, finally, at the prison city, they could see angry, shouting people waiting for them. The people had been told that the Baha'is were evil people, and they didn't want them to land there. They hated the Baha'is already, and they never met them. When the friends entered the terrible, smelly prison, it was so awful that Bahia Khanum fainted and had to be carried inside. They tried to revive her with some water, but it was such black, smelly water that she fainted again. Wow, that's terrible. Why did such awful things have to happen to her? Asked Mona. Mother smiled and went on to explain. Years later, when Bahia Khanum was talking about this time to some visitors, she told them that even with all those hardships, they were always very happy. They used to pray and sing songs of joy because they were all so glad that they'd not been separated from Baha'u'llah. Abdul Baha used to tell the friends not to sing so loudly and happily, as it would make the guards angry. So that means that it's not our circumstances that make us happy or sad, but how we feel inside. I don't know if I could be happy in such a terrible place, said Riaz. If we trust in God and remember that God will make everything all right, we can be patient and happy, I think, said Asma wisely. One very sad thing did happen to them while they were in prison. Bahia Khanum's little brother, Midi, was up on the roof of the prison one day, saying prayers, and he slipped and fell through the opening skylight.
and a crate below pierced his ribs. He was so badly hurt that he died the next day.
"Ah," said all the children.
Baha'u'llah told everyone that Mehdi's spirit was now free of the pains and sorrows of this world, and that because Mehdi was so pure, he would achieve great things even after his death. Because of Mehdi's sacrifice, the gates of the prison would be open.
"Wow! And did that happen?" asked Shala.
"Well, just a few months after Mirza Mehdi," — Mirza is like Mr. or Sir — "after he died, Baha'u'llah's family was allowed to move to a house inside the prison city, to the house of Abud. They were still prisoners and could not leave the city, but it was so much nicer than the prison cell."
"Yay!" shouted all the children.
Bahia Khanum stayed very busy there, because every day the women and children of Akka would come and see her and ask her advice and help. They all loved her very much. Everyone kept expecting her to get married and start her own family. But she told Baha'u'llah she didn't want to marry, that she wanted to spend her whole life serving everyone. And that is just what she did. She always worked very hard to make sure everyone had something to eat. During the war, she even cooked for hundreds of people because there was nowhere else they could get food. Bahia Khanum not only cared for all the people in Akka, but also for people from faraway lands, pilgrims, that would come to see Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá. People from all around the world grew to love her. Baha'u'llah showed us how special she really was. A male member of Baha'u'llah's family was called a branch, and a female was called a leaf. But because of her great services, Baha'u'llah gave her the title, the Greatest Holy Leaf. There is one more great secret, one more great service that Bahia Khanum performed during her life. She kept a very great secret.
"What secret?"
the children all wanted to know. Bahia Khanum had been a little girl when the Bab was martyred. The enemies of the Bab did not want his body to be buried where people could find it, so they threw his body into a ditch. But the friends secretly took it away, placed it in a casket, and for many years it was hidden. Eventually, these sacred remains were secretly transported to Akka and were hidden in the last place the enemies of the Bab would look for it. Bahia Khanum would often sit in her room for hours, quietly praying, looking towards one certain spot. And no one guessed that she had such a great secret hidden in her room.
I know," shouted Shala. "The Bab's casket was hidden there, right, Mom?"
"Really?" said Riaz. "That sounds kind of creepy, having a coffin in her room, like in a ghost story."
"Riaz," shouted Mona, "that's disrespectful."
"So her room was like a shrine, a holy place," put in Asma.
"If you think of it that way, it doesn't sound creepy."
Riaz looked skeptical.
Mother laughed. "Riaz, when you're big, you can go to Israel and see Bahia Khanum's room and the shrine of the Bab and see if it feels creepy."
"Finally," continued Mother, "when Abdu'l-Bahá and Bahia Khanum were quite old, it was safe enough to put the blessed remains of the Bab into their final resting place in the shrine that Abdu'l-Bahá had built on Mount Carmel. Today, thousands and thousands of people come each year to pray at this shrine, and it couldn't have happened without Bahia Khanum's faithfulness. First Baha'u'llah, and then many years later Abdu'l-Bahá, passed on to the next world, and still Bahia Khanum continued to care for everyone. She was the one who helped Shoghi Effendi so much after Abdu'l-Bahá died."
"Shoghi Effendi?" asked Anissa, mispronouncing the name badly.
"Who's that?" she asked.
Mother raised her eyebrows and looked around the room to see who could answer. The guardian, the one who looked after the Baha'is after Abdu'l-Bahá died, spoke up Mona.
He was Abdu'l-Bahá's grandson, added Asma.
Bahia Khanum helped Shoghi Effendi take care of the friends all over the world, continued Mother. She was always busy sending them letters of encouragement and helping the guardian any way she could. All of her life, she continued to take care of everyone, the people of the neighborhood, as well as the people from distant lands that would come to visit the Holy Land. When she died, a monument was made for her in the Baha'i Gardens. And today, people from all over the world come to say prayers at her shrine.
So, ended Mother, that is why, because of her generosity and kindness, I referred to Mona as Bahia Khanum's spiritual descendant. I meant she was acting like Bahia Khanum taught us to act.
That was a really long story for a simple statement, said Riaz.
Riaz! Shouted the other four children. We like the story. Be quiet, they all agreed.
Now, no fighting, guys. It was a long story, and I know all of you have homework to do. So let's get busy, shall we? Said Mother.
Ah, on second thought, smiled Riaz sheepishly. How about another story, Mom?
Riaz hated homework.
Why then should we sorrow over earthly hindrances when we have done what we possibly could, and we are sure that this, our little service, will be certainly acceptable in His sight?